The charity British Blind Sports encourages blind and partially sighted people into activities and sports to improve their physical health, mental health, building all sorts of skills as well. But they also work with organisations to make facilities like gyms and leisure clubs more accessible. Today I'm joined by Frankie Rohan from British Blind Sports and Rob Clark from Places Leisure. Frankie, tell us first of all about the work that you've been doing with a lot of leisure clubs around making them more accessible and working with staff as well to improve their knowledge.
As part of the See Sport Differently programme, which is in partnership with the RNIB, one of the strands that we're mainly focusing on is workforce to upskill, well, as it says on the tin, really, the workforce, so colleagues, staff and centres that might be looking for extra training to be able to make their facilities more accessible and really comfortable places for blind and partially sighted people to be able to attend. Specific sports can obviously be quite daunting, so it's really great to be able to work with facilities that have lots of things on offer, various activities to do with leisure, but also, you know, some of them have things like cafes and quite sociable areas to be able to attend and enjoy.
Are people who have different sight loss conditions put off if they think they'll go there and maybe the facilities aren't very accessible, but probably more than that, that staff may not be aware of the best way to offer assistance?
It can be quite daunting, like I said before, to just go in somewhere and have total access to all the facilities without any difficulties. So it's, I think it is a challenge just getting through the door, to be honest. So to be able to have that confidence that the staff and the people around them are knowledgeable around sight loss and enjoying the facilities, I think is huge, because on the other side of that, there's a lot of apprehension for those staff members and things, because, you know, we don't always know everything about different impairments and disabilities. So from that side as well, that can be quite scary, really, sometimes, of how to approach people and how to really make them feel comfortable and welcome. So it ticks both boxes, hopefully.
In terms of, if we to say gyms, for instance, you know, equipment can be inaccessible, but can be made accessible very easily. So it's not sort of looking at big capital expenditure here. A lot of it can just be training.
Yeah, exactly. And being aware of what's best and what makes the most difference. The training I'm delivering, you know, we talk about lots of things, especially equipment and things like that. And, you know, something as simple as having contrasting colours for equipment, putting a piece of masking tape or white coloured tape or light coloured tape on a piece of dark coloured equipment could literally be the small change that somebody might need just to be able to navigate themselves around an area or know where certain parts of the equipment are, different buttons. You know, there's all sorts of small little things you can implicate that really do make a huge difference and can be the difference of somebody being active and not really.
We have Rob Clark with us from Places Leisure. Rob, why were you interested in the offer from British Blind Sports?
It was a bit of a no-brainer for us, really. We've always been hugely committed to trying to make our leisure centres as accessible as they possibly can be for everybody, creating active places and healthy people so communities can thrive. That's the motto. And it's, when we talk about communities, it's every single person in the community that surrounds that leisure centre. So when Frankie approached us to sort of look at some more in-depth training, I mean, it was a bit of a no-brainer for us. We jumped at it. So being able to tap into Frankie's knowledge and lived experiences, as well as the volunteers that Frankie brings with her to the sessions, is so, so valuable to our teams. But Frankie touched on it there right back at the start. It was really looking at both sides, building confidence in our teams to better support blind and partially sighted customers. And in turn, then promoting the fact that that training had happened and that upskilling had happened to increase the confidence of blind and partially sighted people out in our communities to then come and try the centres. So it was always a kind of approach to sort of hit both sides, if you like.
Frankie, great to hear Rob's positivity there. When it comes to the training, how do you deliver that? How do you engage the staff? Help them learn, I suppose, make it fun, keep them interested?
So I attend the leisure centre and colleagues and staff from that centre and maybe a few surrounding centres as well all come together to do the training. And again, another benefit is it's all roles. So from the front of house right the way through to gym instructors, swim coaches, even to sort of general managers, you know, it's quite informal. It's very discussion based, which is great because obviously you can tailor it to who's in the room and they all have their own individual questions around it. Yes, there's a presentation with facts, figures, the importance, you know, of being able to keep blind partially sighted people active and how the staff having the confidence to ask around the sight loss to make sure they can really help and support as much as they possibly can, and a very person-centered approach. As Rob said, I've got sight loss myself, so I can, you know, there's quite a few funny stories in there, you know, about my experiences and things, and just about making the staff feel comfortable and feel open to asking those what some people may consider awkward questions at times, and really just making them feel confident about approaching people who come into their centres and being able to help them as much as possible, really. There's also a small practical element where I put the staff members and their colleagues in eye shades and talk about guiding. We get them to guide each other around the leisure centre as well, which, as you can imagine, can be quite humorous as well. So it's a good atmosphere all round, really.
Rob, the staff that have been through this, what's the feedback been like after they've taken part in this?
As you'd expect, it's been fantastic. It's been a real education for a lot of them. Frankie has a feedback, a QR code on the last slide of her presentation to gather feedback that way, but we also send out feedback forms and gather that in it, and it's been universally positive, as you'd expect, really. It's been so useful, I have to say. We've done sessions across 7 venues around the country, with one more to come next month. We've reached 108 colleagues so far. It really has built confidence, and it's led on to so many sort of positive conversations about what can be done. I attended, obviously, the first couple of sessions, and I've been back and attended a couple more. And at the end of the session, it's a realization of actually there's so many simple things that we can do which would make a massive difference. Doesn't make a big difference to us, but it would make a massive difference to those customers, you know. So there's, I think that's been the overriding thing in terms of the feedback, is I think people didn't realize just how simple some changes can be, and but what a massive difference they can make.
How do you make sure, you know, that's embedded in staff training going forward? You know, it's been such a positive experience, as you say, that the feedback's been great. How do you make sure that, you know, new staff get this kind of training, or maybe there's refreshers further down the line for some staff? How do you take that forward?
It's kind of a three-phased approach. Firstly, it was the core workshops, which we've spoken about. Like I said, there's been 7 of those across 7 different venues, with one to come. Across those, though, we've actually reached staff from 23 different sites. The second phase of that is we've bolted on a train the trainer element. So of those 108 people that have attended the core workshops, we then put out to those people, look, would you like to be trained up to be able to deliver this workshop? Because it's so important after the initial impact that we don't then lose the benefit of it. Exactly what you said. How do we make sure it continues? So we've future-proofed it by training up our own colleagues to then be able to deliver the session themselves moving forward. So it's, in theory, it's ongoing. So we've now got 18 people that are trained up across the country to continue to deliver these sessions. Because Frankie, as brilliant as she is only one person. So it's not fair to rely on her completely, but also she's amazing, travels around the country supporting us and supporting these sessions, but we need to do our bit as well, and we're absolutely committed to doing that. Like I said, we're going to have 25 colleagues of our own that can deliver these sessions moving forward. So yeah, long may it continue.
Frankie, it must have music to your ears to hear that. You know, it's been so successful in terms of the staff's response, and also the fact that Places Leisure will now have these kind of trainers who will take that forward. So even new staff coming in are going to get all this training as well, and that inclusivity really continues.
It's very much been a partnership, and you know, as we all know, things do come to an end regarding sort of me being able to personally deliver. I'd love to, but unfortunately I've got other work to do as well at British Blind Sport. But that was always sort of the caveat, and another part of it was Places are positively wanting to embed this into almost like a bit of an induction scheme and a continuous program. So to be able to also deliver a train the trainer element of training has just been the icing on the cake of this whole workshop, really. The passion of the colleagues as well and the staff has been brilliant, you know, because they don't have to do that, you know, they can just do their job and do my workshop and try and implement things from there. But to hear and see that people are willing to actually take that on board as well and be able to deliver that and spread that word, if you like, it's absolutely brilliant. And you know, like Rob says, long may it continue. And I just really hope that it benefits, well, I know it will, the people coming through their doors at the end of the day.
Frankie, if people would like to learn more then about British Blind Sport and the services you offer, including the workforce training, then how do they get in touch?
Yeah, so we've got a website, britishblindsport.org.uk. There's lots of different things on there regarding workforce training. There's a See Sport Differently website as well, and obviously there's the RNIB website. All includes the information about See Sport Differently.
And just finally, Rob, if people want to find out more about Places Leisure, how do they get in touch with you guys?
There's a central Places Leisure website, which you can search for online, but obviously all the local leisure centres have their own individual websites as well. So I would just encourage anyone to reach out to their local Places Leisure sites. We've got, you know, about 100 sites around the country dotted all over. You can always reach out to me as well via Rob Clark at pfpleisure.org. There you go.
Well, best of luck with the training, guys. And let's hope more venues do take this up. If they want to Rob and to Frankie, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.